Welcome to Think Life. Good morning and welcome to Think Life. It's episode 15. Today we're going to talk a little bit about our purpose. We've got a great interview for you today with purpose coach Joey Chandler. He's found a method to capture your purpose in two simple questions. He does a great job of capturing my purpose. He does it so smoothly and magically, I didn't even know it happened. So it's awesome. So relax. Sit back and listen as we unpack how to find your purpose in two simple questions.
So I'm a purpose coach, and I think the very best thing that you can do is to figure out who you are and what you're about.
Right.
Because everything else will come from that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's kind of the short answer of how that is. And if you want, we can. I've developed a process where I help people figure out their purpose in two questions. Mm-hmm. And so it takes all the work, the extra and heavy work that purpose often is associated with.
Wow. Well, don't give up all your secrets.
but we can talk about that. Like I always ask though, do you know your purpose?
Mm. Me?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm still trying to figure it out. So okay. I'd like to be able to, figure it out in two questions, man, you, how much you want? Yeah, well, shut up about, and take my money.
No. I'll let me work with you just before we get on, and then we can talk about all this stuff because it will help ground this.
Okay.
So when you interact with people, how do you want them to feel?
I don't know, impressed?
I mean, okay. Anything else?
happy, joyful.
Okay. I mean, these are your words.
Well informed, educated, surprised. Okay. Let's see, what else can I throw out? I think that's about it.
Okay, awesome. So you want them to feel impressed, happy, well informed, and surprised.
Right.
Okay. And so our purpose has been with us for a long time. You could say if it's part of our spirit, our soul, our energy, our whatever. Mm-hmm. It's been with us, some say, well, before we were born, you know, at birth. But either way, we've been interacting with it since we were young. Mm-hmm. And the first interactions that we would have had with that would have been in the language of a young person, because that's the age. So when you think of the feeling of being impressed or happy or well-informed or surprised, the feelings of those things, how would you describe that in language that you would have used when you were like 10, 11, or 12?
I don't know.
Wow. Wow, okay. Cool.
Neat. Stuff okay. like that, I guess. Okay.
So, wow. Are you about people feeling cool about themselves?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm just saying, these are your words.
As a 10-year-old? Oh, God, I have no idea. I don't remember. I'm too old for that.
Well, I mean, just think about it. When you look back, like when you were 5th, 6th, 7th grade, you're about people, you know, impressing and happy and being surprised in the sense of like cool and wow. Mm-hmm. What is that feeling? How would you describe that feeling in a young language?
In young language, now, I don't know. I mean, I would say that's exactly what I would use. I would just say, you know, that's cool, or I wouldn't even say that's interesting. It's more like just, you know, surprise and great, amazing. Wow. Yeah. Wow was the first word that came to my mind. So it's like,
yeah. So I'm trying to think of how you're about people. And so And when you say wow, when you're like, wow, what is that feeling?
It's like I've just come across something I've never seen before. Yeah. And it's interesting. And
is that about amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So would you say you're about people feeling amazed, feeling amazing about themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Yeah. About themselves and, you know, about the world in general. It's like, you know,
right.
I think that the core thing that I really like to do is to try and get people to understand that, you know, there's all sorts of amazing things in the world.
Yep.
And just expose them to amazing things, right? So, I mean, that's what I do a lot when I'm talking to people is like, did you know that this is, you know, this is happening? And they're like, wow, that's cool. So that's
right.
Kind of what I try to do. So, I mean, is that my purpose, to amaze people?
Yeah. Well, the reason I know it is because you smile, you laugh. Purpose is with us in it. And yeah, so if you look back in your life, there's all sorts of places where you really felt amazed yourself and you helped other people feel amazed, right?
Right, right.
And there's a bunch of places where you stumbled at that, where you failed.
Yeah. Yep.
And so if I asked you for tips, you could give me some, hey, do this, and some, don't do this.
Right.
And you're in, for you, it sounds like being exposed to new things or being you know, the sense of education and variety is important.
Yeah, exactly right? Exactly right.
So in your current job outside of podcasting, how is that? How is people feeling amazing about themselves and the world? How does that show up in your current job?
Yeah, well, what I do is help people come up with new ideas, new products, new services, new processes, new things. So I work in ideation. I generate ideas.
Awesome. Okay, perfect.
And I do a lot of, I educate myself. I try to feed myself tons of information from all different kinds of areas. So I look at technology, I look at sociology, I look at philosophy, I look at psychology, I look at all these things, and I just pour them into my brain. And then I just try to combine them into something new and different, and then that's what comes out. So I feel like I'm a processor to generate new ideas.
Okay, awesome. So the idea here is after you create your purpose of being amazing, which is awesome, is you create what I call pillars, which are kind of just tenets of your thing to give you a little more. So I'm about people being great.
Mm-hmm. And
so for me, that's about knowing yourself, having a dream, getting after it, being with friends and family, and helping other people.
Right.
So like those are my things. And so what I hear from you saying is that, you know, being amazing is about having a great variety in life, really educating yourself, being creative. Anything else that would say that really leads to amazing life?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah, you got it.
Well,
do I know my purpose then?
You know it. The question then becomes to own it.
Right.
And so for like amazing, the idea here is that you just take on owning it more and more. So I would journal about what amazing actually means to you, and explore that, because there's a bunch of places where it shows up and where it doesn't.
Right.
And the more conscious you are about it, the more you're able to live it and to leverage it.
Right. Right.
And then so all of your marketing and all of your branding and all of your the way you communicate with people is like, look, I'm about people being amazed. So when I'm working with you, Mr. Technology Person, or your clients are startups then, or?
No, they're all over the place. I work with startups as well as big companies. So
okay, so Mr. Client, whoever you are,
Mrs.
Client, I want you to be amazed. So let's talk about what, you know, what doesn't amaze you right now.
Right.
And let's get all of that out there, and then we can create something. Because ultimately, I'm not just interested in you being amazed, but I'm interested in your clients being amazed and your customers.
Right. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so for that to happen, we need to have some variety. We need some education. We need creativity. I'm guessing you need a sense of community or connection.
Yep.
Right.
For sure. And especially when you get the best stuff when you combine a lot of diverse opinions in the same room, like diverse individuals, diverse opinions. You just say, you know, get it all out there. And then I also try to push the boundaries of things to try and make people feel a little bit uncomfortable, because when you get them feeling a little uncomfortable, then you know, that's when the good stuff comes out. And it may not necessarily lead to anything, but sometimes it's actually very interesting.
Right, right. So for so to have a sense of amazement, you have to be your variety, education, creativity, a sense of connection with other people, and you got to be willing to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you're looking for amazing and you only want to be comfortable, that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. No, the term I like to use is if the idea is creepy, it's probably a good one. So,
exactly. So those are your things. So now you just own the shit out of all those.
Right.
You just talk to people and say, like, look, I'm about people being amazed. This is what it means to me.
Right.
Mr. Client, what would being amazed mean to you?
Right. Right.
And they would tell you, and then you say, okay, well, let's see here's my service. This is how I help you out.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic. You've basically just redone all my marketing for me. Thank you.
No, it's true. It's true. You go through and you become like the amazing idea guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, no, I love it. I love
amazing
it.
Amazing idea, you call you up. That's that's what it is.
That's great. So that's what you do?
That's what I do.
Okay, now shut up and take my money.
Well, I'll send you an invoice.
That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So now we can talk about you being amazing and how, then we can interact back and forth about how, if more people understood this, how this might help us all be better humans.
Right. Right. So the question is, how do I, so all they have to do is ask themselves those two questions and then leads them to their purpose. Right.
Yeah.
So how did you come up with this? I mean, where did this come from?
I'm a video producer,
mm-hmm.
and I create what I call tribute videos.
Oh, cool.
And these are videos that if you wanted to, let's say you're doing a video for your mom,
mm-hmm.
we send you give me a list of emails of friends and family, and we send an email campaign out, and they respond back with video selfies.
Oh, nice.
Mom is amazing and brilliant and beautiful and a great friend, those sorts of things.
Right, right.
And then very cool. Put them all together and you show her at a birthday party or a retirement party or an anniversary or something of the sort.
Oh, nice.
And I've done hundreds of these videos, and somewhere along the way, I started to notice that there was always a theme inside the video.
Mm.
The person was about joy or love or happiness or something in it. And it wasn't very loud. It wasn't overt. But once I started to see it, it was always there.
Interesting.
And along the same time, I was studying the Simon Sinek's and the Robin Sharma's and the Brendan Burchard's, where everyone's talking about know your purpose and know your why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just dawned on me at one point, was like, oh, that theme that I was seeing, that's that person's purpose.
Right.
How they live their life. It's how they interact. It's not intentional, but... And no one person probably could figure it out, but when you take 30 or 40 or 50 people and put them all together, you get this, juice, this essence of that person. And then over the past couple of years, I basically have had worked on this conversation, and at first it took me a couple hours and a fair amount of pain, and then I got it down to where these two questions are.
Mm. Wow. So it's interesting because you're talking about basically how other people feel about you. So that's how it started with, here's 30 people who know me. So if you think about it, those people know your purpose more than you do sometimes, because they could go, okay, obviously this person is that. This is obviously their purpose, because this is what they've impressed upon the rest of us. But a lot of times people don't even understand their own purpose, but their friends do, or everybody around them does.
Right. But I don't know... I think it's a bit of a reach to say that any one person would know your purpose.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying the collection of people.
Collection of, yeah. of people, yes.
Yeah.
Because I know if I did a video for you, the idea of being amazing and new or, something like that would show up in the collective voices of 30 or 40 of your best people.
Right, right, right. That's cool. So I think I've read that somewhere where some people have suggested that you do that sort of thing, where you survey all your friends and relatives and say, what is it about me that's great, right?
Yeah.
And then use that to create your purpose. So it's kind of like, it's a bit like a shortcut to that, right?
Yeah, yes. The problem with those things is that, one, we don't talk to enough people.
Right.
And because you're asking, if I'm asking you if we're friends, there's going to be a biased nature.
Oh, yeah, like absolutely.
It's really hard. And that's where, because I was talking to 30 or 40 or 50 of a person's thing, and I wasn't attached to them. Like, I didn't know Yeah. I didn't go in trying to, I never ask, tell us something so that we could help the person figure out their purpose.
Right.
We just ask, like, you know, what do you love about the person?
Right, right.
And then when you put it all together, but the other part is that we don't have to do the video now. Like, we just, yours, we don't, the video was the proof that it was there.
Right.
And to me, it helps me just be able to say, hey, if you, Mr. Client, if I did a video for you, we know there'd be 30 or 40, 50 people. There'd be a theme. We just have to put language to that theme.
Right.
And that's all that you did.
Right. And that's where you come up with, that's how you came up with the two questions.
The two questions.
And what are the questions again? You did it so smoothly. I couldn't even tell you were asking them. This is great. Or maybe you don't want to reveal that. I mean, that's fine too.
I'm actually putting out these questions. I'm actually putting them out into the world.
Oh, nice.
Because the world, because one, I want to be known as the person that came up with the two question purpose process.
Yes. That sounds like the great name for a book. Are you writing that now, right now?
Let me write that down. So the questions are, is when you interact with people, how do you want them to feel?
Mm-hmm.
And you said impressed, happy, well-informed, and surprised.
Yeah.
And you'll notice what those are adultified versions of people feeling amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like that's, and what happens is we as people, as we get older, we try to come up with more what I call adultified sounding purposes, things that sound profound and interesting.
Right.
But the problem is that we're not grounded in it.
Right.
Like when you say amazing, you smile, you laugh. When I say great, I can't help it. Like you just, and so that's your purpose. That's who you are. And what I find is when you get it nice and simple and grounded in who you are, then you can go out and talk about it in all sorts of different places.
Yeah.
You can bring it up because obviously it comes up with your friends and family. Mm-hmm. It comes up with your work. It will come up with your, your spiritual life. It will come up in your community life, your politics, all sorts of different places.
Yeah.
You can practice what it means to be amazing and to help people feel amazing in all these different areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when the time comes and you're in this, quote, more of a stressful situation, you're talking to a big client, a new job, a sales presentation, a founder talking to an investor, you've practiced it so many different places. When they say, tell me about yourself, well, you'll just naturally say like, hey, well, I'm about people feeling amazing.
Right.
This is what it means to me. It means having variety and education and being creative and connection and be willing to get uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does it mean to you, Mr. Funder?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you and you say, okay, if you fund my company, here's how we'll help you feel more amazing about yourself.
Right. Right. Well, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, so the easiest question for most people is that if they're talking about, do I know my purpose, my motto is can you share your purpose over drinks with friends?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you're just talking, you're having a beer, and you're like, and they say, what's going on? And you're like, well, you know what? I find out I'm about people being amazing.
Right.
And this is what it means to me. What does it mean to you?
Right. So have you ever come up with a situation, I'm assuming you've done this for a bunch of people.
Yep.
You ever done this, come up with a situation where somebody finds out their purpose, but their purpose is like not something that they can leverage to do something about to live their life, right? Like my purpose is, basket weaving or something like that, something that that isn't connected. It's because I'm thinking about, okay, well, I know my purpose. That's great, but can I actually do this for a living, or do I have to do this as a hobby, or like how can I spend most of my life fulfilling my purpose?
Right. So the first thing to do is to look back and to see all the places where it actually already shows up in your life.
Right.
And it's my second rule of purpose is that we are all already living our purpose. Not as much as we want, but more than we think.
Right. Right.
So when you go back and you look at your career, the idea of people feeling amazing about themselves will show up in all sorts of different ways.
Right.
Like maybe not, not even maybe, definitely not 100%.
Right.
But it will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start to build stories that kind of describe that thread. And you can say, I've been about people being amazing. I did it here. I did it here. I really screwed the pooch there.
Yeah.
That
went well. And this didn't go so well.
It didn't go so well. Right. And you're able to now talk with authority. And so what I find is that most people actually when they figure out their purpose, they realize that it's much more present in their life than they realize.
Right. Right.
And what happens oftentimes is the problem so much isn't what do I do now because it's not it's not present. The question is like, oh, this job that I thought I hated actually is fulfilling on it much more than I think.
That's what you're saying.
And that's actually confronting for people because they were expecting to just like find my purpose and take off and go do
it. Yeah, because it wasn't anything that I'm doing now because I hate my job, right?
My job, right. But when they look at it, they're like, oh, here, and here is actually working. You know, these couple spots aren't, but maybe I can tweak it, and they start to see more opportunity.
Yeah.
I was working with a woman who was an architect, and she was getting ready. You know, she was taking yoga classes and getting ready to, you know, like leave. And she figured out that she was about freedom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as talking, she said, oh, I can start to talk to my clients about what freedom means to them.
Right.
And then design a space that reflects that.
Yeah.
And you can just see the gears going in her head.
Yeah.
Because she never realized that, because freedom is such a, you know, you don't think of architecture and freedom. But she was like, oh, no, it's all about the space, how you feel. And she, you know, she described it to me. It was just awesome.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you can apply, like you say, I mean, whatever you're doing now is a reflection of your purpose somewhere. Because it was, unless it's totally anti your purpose, you must have fitted in there somewhere so that you can actually do your job, period. So you just have to sort of reconnect what you're doing currently with your purpose.
Right.
So that's cool. Yeah.
And then, the really cool part is that when you, let's say you get to a point where you're like, okay, I've reached the limit in my current position of fulfilling on my purpose, and that absolutely happens. You can look back and say, I've been living my purpose here, and now I feel like I've maxed it out, and now I'm looking for something new.
Right.
As opposed to what at least I used to do, which was oh, I hate my job, boom, I'm out of here, have to start
a lot of people do that.
Right. And then you look back and you go, oh, there was all these opportunities that had I been a little more aware, a little more present, that maybe I could have used. And maybe I could have left the same way, but I didn't have to blow it up.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of blowing up anything because you never know when things come back around.
Right. But they always do. I mean, but we blow it up. It's so easy.
Yeah. Very cool. So that's a fantastic. So you must be writing a book then. You are writing a book.
I think I have to. Yeah.
I can see you on the shelves at the store right now.
The thing, if I were to write a book, it would have to be around the idea that figuring out your purpose is not hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it just takes two questions. We're already living it.
Yeah.
And then the question is, how do you start to really own it?
Right.
And really own your purpose.
Right. That's very cool. So so how many people have you helped? I mean, you must have done this for a while.
I think my latest count was over a couple hundred people.
Nice. And do you do big presentations or do one-on-ones or how does it work?
Not yet. This is in the it's probably been in the past 6 months where I really got this process down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm working on now is developing an online course and building a community.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things about purpose is that it's a team sport.
Right.
The more you're around other people who are engaged in this, the more helpful you can be to other people and other people can be to you.
Right.
And so we're building a community, and that's that. And then hopefully we'll find some more people that want to hear about it.
Right. So what if once you've figured out your purpose, what do you think the next step should be?
Yeah, to own the, and I apologize for the language, but to own the shit out of it.
Right.
To go and journal about it. Journaling is really, really helpful. And talk to other people and really help ask them what your purpose means to them.
Talk to other people that you know or who would just, you talk? Just anybody?
Anybody. I mean, I'm on airplanes. I'm talking to people about being great, which is my purpose, mm-hmm. in any way, shape, or form I can.
Right.
Because when you go out and you start to share what amazing means, you talk about variety and education and creativity and connection and being uncomfortable, they're going to share what they think amazing means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's going to educate you on what other people think.
Right, right.
And that will allow you to speak more powerfully to the, you know, whatever situation you're in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because our purpose is always about ourselves and other people.
Right.
If you're around a bunch of people who aren't feeling amazing about themselves or what they're doing, it's going to be challenging for you to experience it. It won't be 100%. It's not like it will go away, but there will be a weight or a limit on top of it.
Right. And then how do you find other people who are to talk? Like, should you then connect to other people who have the same purpose as you so you can...
Chances are you won't find them.
Right.
You won't find it, and it won't mean the same. No, you just talk to people and you say, I'm about people being amazing.
Right.
This is what it means to me. What does it mean to you?
Right.
And it's incredible how much people actually have to say about interesting things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, most of us think that, like, you know, airplanes or buses or whatever are bad places to meet people. But I had the most amazing conversations with people just asking about this.
Yeah.
And people want to say things. We want to have interesting conversations.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We're not set up that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I say share it more. Share your purpose more. You'll learn more.
Yeah.
You're not going to convince anybody to take on amazing. And the key is that when you talk to people about your purpose, you have to understand that they have their own purpose.
Yeah.
They don't care about being amazing.
Yeah.
Because they have something else.
Yeah.
But they will have opinions about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they will share it with you, and that will lead towards something.
Right. So do you think what effect the internet has had on people forgetting their purpose or improving their purpose or amplifying their purpose? Do you think it's like you're talking about talking to people in person, right?
Yep.
So what about disconnecting that and just doing sort of like communicating with people over social media and things like that? Has that is there detrimental, or is that actually pretty good?
Yes to both.
Okay. I love it. It's like the internet's just a tool. It can be used for good or bad, right?
Yeah. There's a couple of things. So, since I figured out my purpose and about people being great, it's really impacted my conversations with other people and the depth of the conversations.
Right.
Because fundamentally, our purpose is, it's about three main things. It's about ourselves. It's about other people. And it's about the systems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you manage your day will impact your ability to be amazing or not.
Right.
You know, how you manage your fitness and your finances.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this goes up to company levels. Like, mm-hmm. It's hard. You know, you're feeling amazing, and maybe other people are feeling amazing about the company, but the service that you're rolling out or the internal sales system that the boss rolled out without talking to everybody, you know, doesn't work.
It's not amazing.
It's not amazing. But also vice versa. Sometimes companies roll out the most incredible things,
yeah.
But because people are so stuck in their ways,
yeah.
they don't adopt the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then this goes up to societal level, because there's yourself, and then at a cultural level, how do our economics and our politics, how do those things help people feel amazing about themselves, or how do they hinder people feeling amazing about themselves?
Right, right.
Things like sexism and racism and biases, how do those help people feel, for me, I look at racism and fundamentally it's really hard to feel great about yourself if you're either being racist or having the experience of being racist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I look at purpose, I look at it like this multi-layered sort of thing. It's for ourselves, it's for our initial community as well as our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So now that has driven my conversations to much deeper levels on social media.
Right.
I now have conversations about, I'm much more engaged in terms of politics and mm-hmm. sexism and racism. And with people that I just, you know, I live in a very, a very, very white area of Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm able to connect with people at a much greater level of diversity.
Right.
Through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That I wouldn't probably do in my day-to-day life here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's absolutely expanded your community in amazing ways. I mean, it's so huge. I mean, you can talk to any other person on the planet, which is great, because then it allows people who have the same interests and maybe the same purpose to communicate with each other, and which they never would able to before. Like, these are people you'd never almost... there's so many people that I know over the internet that I've never met in real life. But
yeah.
I feel like I know them deeply just through the conversations that we've had. So it's
right.
Very cool. Yeah.
And so, but it also pushes you to challenge you, because
mm-hmm.
obviously you're going to bump up against, there's places in your life where you can be your purpose and people you can be your purpose with. And then there's people that you aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
when you really engage in purpose, the purpose will challenge you to bring a level of greatness or a level of amazingness in places that maybe you didn't want to.
I was
engaged with a guy that we were talking politics back and forth, and he said some kind of not nice stuff about me. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a comeback prepared for exactly what he was saying.
Wow.
I was ready to type it out, and I sit there and it just dawns on me. I'm like, okay, will this help each other, help us feel great? Because I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is I'm going to say this, other people will join in, like it will go back and forth.
Yeah.
And
it'll spin out of control.
We'll not end up seeing our greatness.
That's right.
And I said, oh, because I love this comeback.
Yeah.
This comeback was really good. And so I didn't respond to that. I just responded to something else he said and ignored kind of his negative comment. And he wrote back and he said, wow, I was really rude to you, but you were actually great with me. And mm-hmm. I want to applaud you for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it, you know, the impact that it had, but to me, it just showed me that if I speak to greatness and if I think about, am I creating greatness, it just forces me and it kind of gives me ways to communicate with people and just at a different level.
Yeah. No, I love that thinking. That's great. Now, here's another thing. I went to a meetup yesterday with a number of people, and I talked to a negotiator, and she had a very interesting assertion in that she said that people don't change. Human nature is fixed, right? There's no, like, you could do a negotiation 3,000 years ago, you can do a negotiation today, but it's exactly the same. Humans don't change. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think she's wrong, or?
No, I think it's absolutely right. You shouldn't try to change yourself. Hmm. But what you should do is be more of yourself.
Right.
You should expand your, like, for you being amazing, there's places in your life where you feel amazing, and there's places in your life where you don't.
Right.
Fundamentally.
Yeah.
And the goal here is not to try to become something else. Mm-hmm. To try to expand your ability to experience more amazingness and help others experience more of it.
Right.
And I was a big try to change yourself sort of guy, like for a long time. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that you try to change and you'll get some benefits. You'll take a course or a workshop and you know, for a week or two or even a month, you'll structure your day in whatever way they told you or whatever it is. But eventually it kind of all falls back and you end up back to where you started.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more pissed off, more broke, and more angry, just more frustrated.
No, it's true. I mean, so much training just doesn't stick.
Stick, right.
It doesn't stick.
So instead now, and this is why I think everyone should figure out their purpose first, is instead of trying to do something new, what you're going to do is like, how can I feel more amazing about myself?
Yeah.
Like, how can I've been working on my morning routine, and what I realize is for me to feel really great about myself when I wake up, actually doing some evening routine really helps. Mm, mm. You know, and so journaling out, like, you know, what I need to do that day and just the next day.
Yeah.
And now I'm just growing what it means to be great for myself.
Right.
And so all these things now that I'm taking courses and learning are contributing to myself, rather than me trying to change myself to be something else.
Yeah. Well, that's the same kind of thing Jordan Peterson's saying. I don't know if you watch any of his videos, but he says start with you, right? You have to fix yourself first, or you have to make yourself great before you can start making other people great. So I have to make myself amazing before I can start making other people amazing, right? Because I have a lot of control over what I do, but, you know, once I've got this down pat, or at least in good shape, then I can move out and say, okay, let me help you. Do you agree with that? Or
I sort of, except to the point that it involves other people much sooner.
Okay.
There's some things that you'll never learn about yourself if you don't help other people out.
Right.
And vice versa. You can't help other people out if you don't do it yourself.
Right.
I don't love Jordan Peterson because I don't feel a lot of his, a lot of the work creates people who are helping others. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, you know, I want to grow myself, I want to improve myself and take this on. But the problem is our purpose is all about ourselves and other people.
Right.
You know, it's about ourselves, other people, and actually systems. I can't be great and really talk about greatness, and you can't talk about amazingness if you're around other people who are the same, who aren't feeling it.
Right.
So we've got to work with those people and figure out what's getting in their way and help them. And that will help me and that will help you. And like, it's much more of an ecosystem, I think, than like, you know, the 12 rules of life. It's much more, take on yourself, you take on other people, you take on systems that produces results. Those results then allow you to take on more people, you know, like it goes back and forth.
So you're right. I mean, it is more of an ecosystem, unless you're like some hermit living in a shack somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You have to interact with other people all the time, and that interaction should improve you. Right.
Yeah.
It should improve everybody and that's it's interesting that you mentioned that conversation, because I feel that we have those kinds of conversations all the time where we just let our emotions rip and we don't really care about, you know, that other person, what they're going to feel. We just say, okay, I want to get my point across. Boom. And then you think about it afterwards and you go, oh man, I probably shouldn't have done that. Right. I'm not moving the conversation forward. I'm not making other people feel better or no one's actually getting anything out of this. It's just like my emotions just went bleh. And so how do you feel about that kind of control of your, I mean, do you always have to do that sort of stop for a second and think, what am I doing here? Like in your case, it would be, am I making this person feel great by sending this message? Or am I making this person feel amazing by having this conversation? Or, you know, so you always have to do that, right? You always have to stop yourself until it becomes habit, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it takes practice. It absolutely takes practice. It takes, and there are people in your life where you can be, you know, like, you know, the greatness level is there's not too much of a gap. There's a little bit of a gap.
Yeah.
You can practice with them.
Yeah.
And you can learn how to have a conversation that leaves both of you feeling great or both of you feeling amazing or happy or joyful, whatever it is.
Right.
And that takes practice.
Yeah.
And then as you know, I practice with this person and that person. Then when I go to have a conversation with a more challenging conversation, either a more stressful situation in terms of, you know, there's more significance in terms of business or a relationship or something, or just more, say, of a political, you know, a disagreement on things.
Yeah.
The more that I practice in all these other areas, the more able I am to have some facility and some understanding of the nuances in these more challenging areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, purpose takes practice.
Yeah.
So when you practice in all these other areas, just like anything, you build that muscle and you're able to do it. And then there'll be times when you fail. You know, you'll go like, whoa, you look at it and go, that person did not feel amazing at the end of that conversation.
Right. and you have to go back afterwards. I always have that feeling. And then I go, how can I continue the conversation so that it ends on an amazing note? Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can look back and you'll either see where you stop feeling amazing about yourself.
Yeah.
Or you'll stop feeling amazing about them.
Right.
And at that point you can start to see, and here's this is the important part. There are some people that when you have conversations with, it's not either healthy or safe to try to leave them with their purpose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If somebody is attacking you or has been abusive to you, it's, you know, trying to have them, you know, live their purpose. Like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
There's places where we just got to say, no, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm going to separate myself or defend myself in whatever way that you have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in those places, I'd say, you know, we got to put those aside and practice being our purpose in areas where we can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my thought is that if we, you know, if I talk to this person and it goes all the way around, maybe someday we'll eventually get to that person that I can't talk to.
Yeah.
Or I will have developed my muscle enough and my abilities to where I can have a conversation with him or her.
Right.
But it's not all, you don't always have to have it. But I do say that any conversation, you can have any conversation you want and leave the person present to your purpose in some way.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes practice and training and some, you know, some nuances.
Yeah, yeah. But I took a logic and argument class in college, and the professor was really great because he said, you know, once you determine that this person is a fanatic, and this was the term he used, is someone who will never change their mind no matter what information you put in front of them, whether it's facts, you know, opinions, whatever, et cetera. Once you realize that person's a fanatic, then you walk away because there's no changing that person's mind. There's no reason for you to continue talking to them about, you know, what you're trying to do, because they're not going to change their mind. So is it similar to that, where do you go back to that person again later when you feel like you're better at it?
I mean, the first, you know, in terms of safety and you know, abusive nature of relationships, those, you know, you may never go back to, like, that's, yep. that's there. But as you build it up, as you build conversations up, and really this is more about listening than trying to convince them, mm-hmm. like, you're talking to that person, like, what does amazing mean to that person?
Right.
And right, maybe they right. tell you a bunch of different things that you don't realize about them. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to connect in a different way, and then maybe there's some, you know, something happens. It's not, I don't think it's the more I do this, the more I understand it's just more about nuances and baby steps and, mm-hmm. you know, finding the thread rather than, like, here's the set plan.
Right, right. Very cool. So this has been fantastic. Thank you so much. Can you tell us, like, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that? Do you have websites, connections, et cetera?
Yeah.
Udemy courses, et cetera?
Right. Yeah, it's joeychandler.net.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have all my purpose courses there. And I'm doing a special right now, a $99 special, where I'll help people figure out their purpose. You do a one-on-one call.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
That,
very cool.
And we're building a community based on that will help people, because purpose is a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
But then my main goal ultimately is to have people have as many people as possible know their purpose, because I just figure the world to be a better place if we're speaking to and from purpose.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, thank you so much.
Good thing. Thank you.